Dr. Google can't fix your knee. The Joint Relief Institute can. Fast joint pain relief, covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Dave Player in for Amy Guth on this beautiful Saturday afternoon in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN. Very happy you could join us. 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text anytime throughout the show. So today we're going to talk a little bit about a recent study that millennials will need $1.8 million. You heard it. When they retire. So what can you do to start saving now? Walter Updegrave from CNN Money will join us to break it all down. After the news at 12:30, Robert Lorzel from Crane Chicago Business will share Chicago's newest and edgiest startups that kicked off this week, including Mivo, the Chicago Brewseum, which is a new beer museum that's going to be opened up in Chicago. I love the idea for this. And we'll also follow up with one of the startups that he talked about a few weeks ago called Flipin, a new product to store LPs, which just ended its Kickstarter campaign very successfully. We'll talk about that. And did you know that U.S. employees let some 429 million vacation days go unused this year? 429 million. And if employees would just take one additional day of earned leave each year, the result would mean $73 billion in output for the U.S. economy and positive impacts for both employees and businesses. And we're going to talk to a real estate investor and small business proprietor about that as well. But first, millennials have more than enough financial worries. Now they can add about 2 more million to their list. That's how many how much money they're going to need to retire. Older millennials, those born in the early 80s, will need about $1.8 million salted away to maintain their standard of living in retirement, while younger millennials, those born in the late 1990s, will need upwards of $2.5 million, according to new studies. Can it be done? Well, with nearly 3 decades at Money Magazine, a contributor for CNN Money, author of 4 books on retirement planning and investing, and the editor of RealDealRetirement.com, Walter Updegrave joins us to break it all down. Walter, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So given that millennials have college debt, it's a slow job market. Saving this early might be daunting, but it's not impossible.
No, I think that what you have to do is kind of look at this as a long-term process and sort of put yourself in a position to be able to save over, you know, the course of a career. You know, some people have these suggestions, you know, you're supposed to, you know, drink fewer lattes and, you know, they look at specific ways of saving a dollar here or there. That's fine, but I think what people really need to do is have a sort of a more systematic way of living below their means so that you're just not putting out a whole lot of money and you have some actual money to save. So, you know, in my article, I talk about things like focusing on some major expenses. You know, housing is the big expense for most people. If you can find a way to, you know, live, cut that expense a little bit, it'll free up a lot of money. Same thing with transportation. You know, you don't buy like a new car, you buy a used car, or you get by on public trans and maybe the occasional Uber ride. But the basic idea is try to live a little bit below your means, and that frees up money for saving. And even though you hear these figures, $1.8 million, $2.5 million, I think that what people really need to do is just focus on saving some money, even if it's a little bit, and just try to do it consistently.
Well, you say develop responsible money habits from the get-go, and you know you're not talking again about a few bucks here and there. Although I got to tell you something, I looked at how much I'm spending on Starbucks on a single week, on a single day. It could be like a grand, $1,500 a year that I could be saving and not spending it on that type of stuff. But you really got to live within your means, and a lot of us aren't good at that.
Well, that's true, and that's why I think that this approach of sort of like a focusing on like saving a dollar here, a dollar there, or cutting this expense, or all this focus on budgeting, I think is a little bit counterproductive. I think that if people, for example, if somebody has a 401k plan and they sign up to save 10% of their salary on it, then they are essentially living on 90% of their salary. So they don't have to worry about the little things. You know, once you're living on 90% of your salary, things will work out. Who cares if you spend, you know, if you indulge yourself a little bit on a latte, but maybe then you drive a lower priced car. The point is that if you put, you know, you do the savings part first, then you don't have to worry about so much about these little things.
But some of these younger millennials, they have college debt. Is it more important looking at the rates that they're paying on their college debt to pay that off first, pay it off last, save and pay it off at the same time? What's the plan?
Yeah, I mean, college debt is a huge thing for a lot of millennials. And there's a recent study from the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants shows that that's a major reason that people delay saving for retirement. So, yes, you have to, at the very least, pay whatever is due on that debt. And if you can afford to, if you can refinance it in some cases, for example, so you're paying less interest on it, that's terrific. But, I mean, the truth is that there are always going to be expenses. People are going to have all sorts of expenses throughout their lives, and you're going to have to save despite having these expenses. And I think that the key is to, pay whatever, keep your expenses to the minimum and try to save some way, either through a 401k or some sort of automatic savings plan, so that you're not constantly having to make a decision about, oh, I'm going to save this amount this month, or I'm going to try and save $100 this month. Because when it comes down to individual decisions, or somebody's going to say, oh, I'm going to sit down at the end of the month and figure out what I can save, the truth is it very often doesn't get done because there's always some other expense that comes up. That's why I always tell people, try to do the savings first and make it, program it in from the beginning.
And most companies, if a millennial is working, have great programs. They have matching programs as well, and you can do something individually with a bank as well. And I was just talking to some friends of ours last night. Daughter graduated from Harvard, has student loans to pay. She found a modest apartment in walking distance from work. And she doesn't need a car for that reason. So she's, she knows in the next 5 years, she's going to take the bar. She's already got a job, but she's going to pay down that debt and start socking some money away so she could actually buy something as well. So it can be done.
Well, it can be done. And I think that the key here is, for example, the young lady you just talked about, doing something, arranging your life so that you don't need the car. So that's a major expense that you're avoiding. That is really the key. It's kind of like setting this groundwork so that you are living, in a way that you just don't have that many expenses. And, in the case of millennials, I know a lot of times I think they've come in for a little bit of a bad rap because there's a number of studies that talk about, how they use credit cards more frequently than other groups, or they're more likely to pay by apps. That's true to some extent. But the fact that just because maybe they pay their bills or do their financial transactions a little bit differently than older generations doesn't mean that they're necessarily being irresponsible. I think that, the key is however you're going to pay, you just want to make sure that you have a lifestyle that allows you to have something left over after you pay your basic living expenses so that you can save.
But if you need a car to get around, you can get a pre-driven car, still a nice one. There's a lot that goes on right now where, there's younger generations that want to have kind of what their parents have now, and that's going to come with time. But you can still enjoy yourself, still have a good time, but it's socking that money away that's so important.
That's true. And I think that one thing that the millennial generation is probably going to pick up on quicker than, the baby boomers are possible ways of saving money, the money that they save, rather, better ways of investing it, keeping investment costs down. There are now all sorts of what they call robo-advisors out there where they use algorithms to create portfolios, and they're very low cost, much lower cost than, say, a traditional investment advisor, financial advisor, or whatever. So that's important, too. Once you start putting money away, you don't want to pay a lot in investing fees because that whittles away your return. So I think that this generation has a good opportunity there to lower their investing costs.
That's a good plan for the millennials. Now, if you're 50 and you haven't really started to save, what can you do? And we're going to talk about that. If you have a question for Walter, 312-981-7200. More with Walter Updegrave from CNN Money next on 720 WGN. Dave Player on the Wintrust Business Lunch, in for Amy Guth today. We're talking to Walter Updegrave from CNN Money on the subject of saving for retirement. Now, Walter, we talked about a plan for millennials. What if you're 50 years old? And I know a lot of friends of mine haven't really even started a retirement account yet at this point. What is the plan for them?
Well, everybody would like to hear that there's a terrific investment out there that they can put some money into and double their money, quadruple their money between now and retirement. But the fact is that people really have to find a way to start saving and really do some serious saving. I mean, if you get started early in life, millennials, they can get by with 10 to 15% a year. If you're your late 40s, 50s, and you haven't saved anything, you've really got to sort of jumpstart it. And we're talking about something like 20% a year, 15, 20%. You do that, at least you have a decent shot at accumulating a decent sized nest egg. The other thing is, because you're getting a later start, the other thing is that maybe you work a few more years. You plan to retire a few years later than you normally would. And that can have actually a very big effect. Just 2 or 3 years have a big effect on improve your retirement prospects for a couple of reasons. First of all, any money that you've managed to put away, you're getting an extra return on that before you start tapping it. So that's a big deal. And the other thing is, you're taking Social Security a little bit later. And every year you delay Social Security after age 62, you get basically a 7 to 8% bump in your payment. So that can have a really big effect. So there are things that people can do. It gets more difficult, though, the more you delay.
Now, if you have a home that's worth substantially more than you owe on it, you may be able to convert that to equity into spendable cash or maybe downsizing or doing a reverse mortgage. I mean, you can also do that.
Yes. I mean, if you own a home and you've got equity in it, there are a number of things you can do. And actually, there's an organization, the Boston College Center for Retirement Research. They have a very good booklet on ways to use the equity in your home. And you mentioned a couple of them. Downsizing might be the way. And if you can do a combination downsizing and maybe moving to an area with lower living costs, you can sort of leverage those savings even more. But a reverse mortgage is something that people can consider. Usually that works out better than a home equity line because when you're retired, you don't have the income, as much income to be making those payments. But if you have the home equity, that's definitely a resource that you can take advantage of.
Got a texter from 708. I'm 39 and have most of my money in higher risk funds in my 401k. At what age should I start shifting to something more conservative?
Okay. Well, at 39, you're talking about somebody, roughly 25, 30 more years of a career. So they really don't have to be so concerned about the stock market's ups and downs right now. So I think they should probably have them. When they say high-risk funds, I hope that they're still investing in something in a diversified portfolio of stocks. And by high-risk, I hope they mean just mostly in stocks. You still need a diversified portfolio. But probably most people, when they start to get into their 50s, really need to start thinking about maybe, ratcheting down the risk a little bit, and maybe moving a little bit more toward bonds in their portfolio. Because what you don't want is in that last, 10 years to retirement, 10 to 15 years, to take a really, really big hit. So that's probably when you're in your, as you hit your 50s, when you start really thinking about sort of ratcheting back a bit. But not going completely to bonds because, even at age 50, you figure, people today are living into their mid-80s, if not longer. So you're talking about another 30 years of investing. So you don't want to, you're going to have inflation over that time. So you don't want to become so cautious that your returns are so low that you can't keep your, maintain your standard of living.
Another texter, 847, my company doesn't offer a 401k. What kind of retirement plans are out there for me?
Okay. For somebody who doesn't have a 401k, probably an IRA is their simplest bet. You can put away money with a traditional IRA. You can put away money, and it's tax deductible in that year, so you get a little bit of a tax break. If you're younger and you think you're going to have pretty decent prospects where you're going to earn a fair amount of money in the future, you may want to do a Roth IRA. And with a Roth IRA, you put the money away. You don't get the immediate tax break for it. But when you pull the money out in the future, the distributions can be tax-free. But basically, an IRA is probably the best deal for somebody who doesn't have access to that 401k.
Always great information. For more financial tips, visit realdealretirement.com. Walter, up to grade from CNN Money. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, enjoyed it, Dave.
All right, thanks. Take care, pal. All right, news is next on 720 WGN.